Saturday special. Back in the saddle, in a manner of speaking, not at the radio station. I'm on the telephone, but we're going to be on the air doing an open mic program for the next couple hours. We hope you will enjoy it and stay tuned and contribute if possible. I want to thank Steve Hartman for doing such a bang-up job last week when I was away.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
War is hell. We all know about that. But America has its 3,000 missiles on hair trigger alert. Russia has 2,500. Knock out their eyes and ears, which are satellites. Knock out the command center in Moscow. The Russians don't want their missiles killed. Then, gentlemen, launch your missiles. Everyone launches. It's nuclear winter and the end of life on Earth. Is this a real-life scenario, or is it just the dreamt-up folly of some harebrained liberal? Judging by past week's programs on KSCO, there is a great divide as to whether or not the United States is, in fact, a global bully. Join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special with your host, MZ, from 10 a.m. to noon, as we discuss this red-hot topic. That's this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon on your And the Rocket's Red Glare, the Bomb's Bursting in Air radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
Wow. I think that was our Billy Graff who did that promo. Great promo. And it sounds like Billy grew an extra set or two of gonads here for that particular. God, I mean, what a set of pipes. That's incredible. As I said, welcome to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. Yeah, what a week it's been, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me explain what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen today, but let's just sort of set the stage for whatever will happen today on the Saturday Special. I am on the telephone, and not in the studio, and our own ambassador of the multicultural ambassador of the New World Order, Cyril Vitomsky, has graciously agreed to be with us, sort of a co-host moderator here. Cyril, welcome back to KSCO and the Saturday Special.
Nice to be back on the Saturday Special, Michael.
I appreciate you doing this for me here. We anticipate the possibility of there being quite a lot of phone calls, because the subject that we're going to at least start out the program with today is a continuation of a program that was of a subject that was started on a program on Tuesday during our noon program, during which one of our hosts, KSCO Scott Free, did a really rip-roaring, fabulous program, I thought, for talk radio on the subject of the horrors of war. Now, I don't think there's any of us listening who doesn't think that war is horrible, but Scott put on a pretty graphic program, I think, that was spawned by some readings that he had done either on the internet or reading a book or whatever. And the program was about 45 minutes long. And as I said, I'm out of town, and I didn't even know about the program. I started getting these emails with voicemails and emails talking about this program, and everybody who called or everybody who registered an opinion had a very, very strong opinion, either positive or negative, about the program. And so that just sort of got me thinking about, wow, what times we live in these days, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but it sure seems to me that within the last year or so, there has been so much polarity within our country, the likes of which I've never seen in my life. Now, Cyril, you've been a resident of the United States for how long now?
Almost 15 years now.
Yeah.
May 12th will be my 15th anniversary of my Plymouth Rock.
Oh, wow. Well, that's coming up here pretty soon.
Yep.
So congratulations on that in advance. But for the 15 years that you've been here, have you ever noticed such polarization and such? I mean, people who have been good friends for years have become mortal bitter enemies over Bush versus Kerry and Iraq War yay versus nay
I have not seen any people becoming bitter enemies.
Boy, I have.
Okay, well, but I frankly don't think that there's that much of a... I think there's an easy explanation to that, and that is that discussions are much more in the open. Before that, before the mass media advancement, the talk radio, one thing is contributed dramatically. And then the internet discussion groups contributed dramatically as well, with even before the internet, just the beginning of some of those computer bulletin boards. And that's where people from different groups, before that, where would you have your discussions? Within your own club? Within the bar that you would go, within the little circle of your area, maybe at the most, at the writings of the letters to the editor, that was the only source. Now with
talk radio has been with us for 40 years.
Well, yeah, but until Limbo, it wasn't, as my understanding. Again, I wasn't here, but it wasn't in that way. Caller-driven, participation-driven, wasn't it? I thought it was more of a interview, sort of like what C-SPAN book reviews does. No,
no, no. Okay. Actually, from what I heard, now I got turned on to talk radio, if you will, at the tender age of 11 or 12, by my mom, who used to listen to KGO religiously, and so. I got real interested in the whole notion of communicasting. I mean, that's what they called the talk hosts on KGO back then in the 60s. They weren't DJs. Later on, I guess they started calling them talk hosts, but they called them communicasters back then. And I always thought that KSCO would make a wonderful talk radio, sort of like a KGO for the Monterey Bay. Because back then, the university had just arrived in town in the mid-60s. We knew there were going to be incredible changes going on in Santa Cruz. And there was, my gosh, an awful lot to talk about. But anyhow, that didn't happen because the managing partner at the time, I suggested that to him as a 13-year-old kid, that KSCO become a talk radio station. And Vernon Berlin at the time explained to me then, I didn't understand it then, I certainly understand it now, that he had spent 20 years at that time in the mid-60s having built a loyal audience or loyal following to KSCO, and you don't want to take that loyal audience and just cast it to the wind and abandon it. So I certainly understand that now. Anyhow, things happen for a reason, and you know, some 26 years later, we were able to bring local talk radio and discussion to the Monterey Bay Area, and we're very proud of that. We're also very proud of KSCO being a voice for everyone. Now, people who are more liberally minded politically will probably not agree with my last statement. They will probably say, well, gee, you have predominantly conservative hosts on the radio station, so you really aren't a voice for everyone. You're just a voice for conservatism and republicanism,
but if
and
you,
so forth.
Michael, if you dig very deep into the ultra-right, you probably will hear the same thing, that you are just nothing but a voice for, you know, liberal socialists, whatever, because they consider, you know, people like George Bush, you know, the Rockefeller Republicans and all of that nonsense. You know, you'll probably hear the same thing from John Birch Society.
I'm real happy you said that, because to me, you know, when everybody's mad at us, it means that we're stirring the pot and we got a listening audience here, which means that we're a good value for advertisers. That's the only way that we can function as a commercial broadcast station. We have to have a significant size audience so that advertisers will get value from spending advertising dollars with us, because their message will be heard by a large number of ears. So, you know, that part is great. I've got to say that over the years, it distresses me when people say that, you know, we are one-sided or skewed one way or the other, because that's not really the intent. It is true that I and my family, I don't like to use labels, but I guess we probably do skew to the right a little bit. We tend to be have a conservative political views, and that certainly wasn't always the case for me personally. I grew up being pretty darn liberal, and some things happened in the late 70s and early 80s that sort of changed me around politically. But in any case, I've always bent over backwards to encourage people from all political persuasions to use the resource, to use KSCO as the talk radio facility. So, and over the years, we've had some great bumps in the road. That I remember shortly after 9/11, we had this talk host, and I'm sure there are a lot of people in the audience listening to me now that will probably know what I'm going to refer to. There was a talk host named Peter Werby, whom we carried on 1340, and very, very left-wing, very anti-Republican, anti-conservative, and not very humorous and not very entertaining, just bitch, 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 which is basically what all the liberal talk radio is about now. But we kept him on anyhow on KOMY because we thought we were doing a service for our community, at least the Santa Cruz part of our listening audience. And then 9/11 happened, and my mother and I did not feel that it was appropriate for the radio station to be used in any way other than to provide a voice of unity, if possible. So that's when we drew the line and decided that it was inappropriate for Peter Werby to continue. I mean, he really hadn't changed, you know, except times had changed. We were now, you know, in time, it was now wartime, which it really still is. And unfortunately, I think we're going to be in wartime for a long, long time because it's a whole new world now. Anyhow, cutting back to back then in the I think it was October of 2002, 2001, right after 9/11, we came under great fire from people all over the world because the call went out through the internet to let these independent people in Santa Cruz who think they own the airwaves know that suppressing freedom of speech is a terrible, terrible thing, and that they shouldn't be allowed to do that. Well, anyhow, what happened this last week? As I said, people were very, very emotional on one side or the other. And it sort of conjured up my thoughts of the old Peter Werby days. At any rate, I thought we would talk about that. Let's invite some callers to call in and
Let's tease some, Michael. Could you once again? Because one of the reasons that I had absolutely no problem getting into this show right now because I did not listen to Scott's show, and I have not heard Kay's editorial until. And I guess
okay. I should continue that.
Yeah. Let's just inform the audience what are we doing? What are we talking about?
Sure.
But
okay, Scott,
in the meantime,
put on a program on KSCO on Tuesday.
Michael,
Scott Free Hour.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Let's do a little tease, maybe in a minute, of explaining what it is, and then how about a novel idea? I will go into commercial break.
I love it. That's great.
All right, so you go ahead, explain within a couple of minutes, and then
okay,
after that we'll take a commercial
earlier,
and then start taking calls, I guess, if
sure.
There is anybody in there.
Sure, I see we're already starting to get calls here. 479-1080 or 477-1340 are the phone numbers to call to participate on this edition of the KSCO Saturday Special. We're going to invite comments, your feelings about the war, you know, positive or negative. And I just want to say that on Tuesday, during the Free Thinkers Hour, Scott Free put on a program talking about the horrors of war. Now, I've already said that earlier, and it was he was pretty emotional and pretty wound up because obviously, you know, this is very important to him. And I received quite a number of emails and that said, you know, wow, what a great show. And I also received emails saying, what a horrible show. You know, So I said, well, what is this show? Anyhow, I was able to, you know, receive a copy of the recording of the program, and I listened to it. I listened to it along with my mom. And we both were dismayed that there was no opportunity for any kind of dissension. That's the big, that's the problem with that particular radio program. Not what Scott said happens to be, you know, different from our political perspective, but rather that there was no opportunity for people to call in and register a different or opposing point of view. Now, Scott did say at the very beginning of the program that there's a very good chance, because he's got an awful lot to say, there's a good chance that he might not even get to phone calls. And I think he did get to one at the very end. In fact, I'm sure that he did. And and that's the problem that Kay and I had with the particular program, that the other side, the other perspective was not even allowed to really participate. And so what I did is that I asked Kay to sit down and write a commentary that would provide the other side that was not permitted to be broadcast. And that commentary was played on the next noon show on Wednesday. And that commentary, you know, directly answered a lot of the a lot of the unfortunate what we feel were very not right challenges or accusations toward our government and the people running our government. Now, again, I want people to call in, and I want people to say if they don't like George Bush or they don't like Don Rumsfeld or whatever, and what the reason is. But I also want them to offer a solution. Ladies and gentlemen, we were attacked in 2001. I mean, that's never happened in our since Pearl Harbor. And for all the people who sing the "War is Terrible" song and people are getting blown to bits, of course that's true. But please offer a solution. Don't just whine and bitch about it and then not let anybody else have who wants to call in and have a solution, prevent them from doing so. That's not the way we run KSCO, and that's not the way KSCO will be run, okay? We will provide a voice for everyone all the time, and that's what we want to do today. So anyhow, you want to do that commercial break?
Yeah, let's do the commercial break. After that, we have callers, and one of them is Scott.
Oh, good.
So we can discuss that. If need be, I have Scott's show queued up here, and I have Kay's editorial queued up here on my desktop as well, since I am the ultimate pro here at this station. So stay with me and with me and MZ. This is the Saturday Special, KSCO Saturday Special, the KSCO Saturday Special, including the discussion of the Free Thinkers Hour, Scott Spree's show on Tuesdays. Telephone numbers, if you would like to be on the program here, and it's not a program. Program will come tomorrow. 479-1080, 477-1340. The fax line, 475-2967. And Cyril Vatomsky here with MZ, and we will be right back.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Fort Ord, Moss Landing, and Yanada.
We share this tiny planet with all sorts of creatures that wander its surface. Creatures big and small. Some of the smallest, like bacteria, fungi, and yeasts, can seriously affect our bodies. Here's pharmacist Benjamin Fuchs to explain how.
Funguses and yeasts are sugar feeders. So right away you can tell that if you're eating a lot of sugar, you're eating a lot of refined carbohydrates, you're going to be feeding that fungus. Secondly, bacteria inside our intestines live in balance with fungus. And when bacteria are in balance with fungus, fungus can't overgrow. However, when bacteria levels drop, so-called good bacteria, then the fungus levels can rise. Bacteria and yeast live in the body in balance, and typically one doesn't overgrow over the other. However, when we drink chlorinated water, or we drink brominated water, or we eat preserved foods, we can kill off our intestinal bacteria. Also, by ingesting a lot of refined carbohydrates and sugars, we can have fungus overgrow, because fungus and yeast are sugar feeders. Both of these in combination can result in fungus overgrowing in the body. So the answer is to take yourself some acidophilus and probiotics to build up that intestinal flora. Fermented foods are a wonderful way to build up the intestinal flora. So all of these strategies can help us rebuild our natural bacteria so the fungus kind of falls in line, all without drugs. Feeding the natural bacteria is a much better way.
American Longevity's Ultimate Killer Biotic incorporates a blend of mushroom extracts, bovine colostrum, and bee propolis, collected by killer bees from the surrounding Brazilian jungle. They used it to keep the hive free of bacteria, yeasts, and molds. And at $32.50 wholesale, you can boost your immune system without draining your bank account. Give your body what it needs to maintain a healthy balance of intestinal flora with Ultimate Killer Biotic from American Longevity. To order or to pick up American Longevity products, call Scott or Jose at KSCO Radio, 831-475-1080. That's 831-475-1080.
Santa Cruz Medical Foundation is leading the way in providing medical services in Santa Cruz County. Meet Josh Novick, one of the doctors who is making our medical services among the best in the area.
My name is Josh Novick. I'm a neurologist at the Santa Cruz Medical Clinic. Neurologists take care of patients who have various neurologic illnesses such as multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, epilepsy, migraine headaches, and others. It used to be that we did not have a lot of treatments for many of our neurologic illnesses. But in the past decade or so, there's been an explosion of treatments that are available. So there are many more treatment options available now for patients. Most of the time, they work fairly well.
Offices of Santa Cruz Medical Foundation are located throughout the county to provide convenient, accessible health care for the entire family. Specialists are available by appointment or by referral from your personal physician. Call 476-5252 for a neurology specialist or log on to the web at santacruzmedical.org.
We've got a transmitter, and we're not afraid to use it.
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
All right, we're back here. We're back here with the Saturday special. Cyril Vatomsky here, sitting in, helping MZ. MZ is here on the line, calling
line.
from underground bunker somewhere in Arizona, where he is sitting together with Ross Perot. Just kidding. I'm sorry. All right. So
you're a real funny guy.
We're discussing the situation that transpired, and I guess this is more of a discussion of whether, you know, what is this? What are we going to do? What the situation is in terms of the war?
Yeah. Let's see if we can have an unemotional discussion. But
I don't think we can. But we'll try.
Okay. Let's have our first caller be Scott. Yep, that Scott. We're going to call him that Scott.
You are through the wonders of technology. You're going to be able to bring Scott up from Arizona.
Hey, that Scott. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Z. How about yourself?
Good, good.
Well, first of all, I would happen to agree with you after listening to the program and all the various calls, particularly the ones who disagreed with me.
I think you got most of those emails, right?
Yeah, I got them all.
Yeah, good.
The problem with the people who disagreed with me was that I did not give them an opportunity to voice their dissent on the program, of which I would happen to agree with you and Kay. The point of the program is for dialogue. It isn't for a diatribe.
Yeah.
But I had so much information that I wanted to get out, and knew that if I went to the phones in the middle of the things that I was going to be discussing, I would be distracted and wouldn't be able to get to everything that I wanted to discuss,
which I was
going to have a follow-up program this next Tuesday to take all those calls who disagreed with me or agreed with me. And unfortunately, the people who did agree with me, they didn't have a problem with me taking up the whole hour because I was finally voicing an opinion for them, because they do have the opinion that because of Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, and the lot, that it is considered a right-wing radio station, and it's not too often that their opinions are being able to be expressed, because if somebody does call those programs and starts to debate, then they're immediately dumped because their opinions isn't what's going to be wanted to be heard by the audience of those particular programs.
Even from our local hosts? Even from our local host, would you say?
No, I'm talking about Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, and Bill O'Reilly.
Uh-huh.
They're called pinheads and loony leftists and things like that. And the right-wing people are more than happy to be throwing these names about and label people and then immediately dump them because they don't want to hear what they have to say.
I think you've described both sides, Scott. You know, I wish there were people who I like to be myself. I don't know if I'm always successful at it. I get emotional myself at times. And
right. All of us, we're emotional beings.
Yeah. I think the right and the left are both pretty intolerant of each other, and that's what I think is real unfortunate.
Right.
And
then when Kay came on with her editorial, it was just fanning the fire because people who agreed with her were more than happy to finally have somebody to balance the comment. Other people thought that it was right-wing spin and damage control for the name of the station.
Oh, I don't know.
Or a personal attack against me because she happened
Scott,
to...
Well, listen. Yeah. Do you think, after listening to it and calming down, because we were all pretty pretty excited at the time, do you think after all this, do you think that, you know, Kay isn't even... I asked her to do that.
Right.
And I asked because, you know, she expresses herself better than most people in writing. And so I said, hey, go for it. And I'll we can produce it here in the laptop computer and mm-hmm. use the wonders of cyberspace to zap it into the KSCO computer and play it, you know. So we played it
right.
on the same program.
Right,
you know,
right
same
before
time
the next
slot,
day.
And then a few other times during the day, and I think once the next day.
Right.
And I think you were really disturbed because you know, did you think Kay was talking down to you or something? Or?
Yeah, well, specifically that she would address me in an editorial.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Boy,
and,
you know, don't mean to interrupt, Scott, but I would be flattered, not offended.
But then in the same process, through association of the words that she was using, not that she called me specifically a loony leftist, but then would, just by the association throughout the 5-minute editorial, that's what people got, that she was having a personal attack. And I would have to say that for a time that I did think that that it was an additional, not necessarily an attack against me, but that she was...
It certainly wasn't meant to be that.
More like she was taking me to task.
Challenging you. And when you're a talk host, you know, when you're a talk host with an opinion...
You should be able
to
take it.
You got to expect to be challenged.
Right.
And in this particular case, there wasn't an opportunity to challenge you on the show.
That's
now,
right.
It's true that the owner or co-owner of the radio station can do something that most people can't or nobody else can, and that's do a commentary.
Right.
You know?
Right. But I think what people had a problem with is that even all the other editorial comments that she has made, she's never addressed the editorial towards any of her staff. And I think that's what a lot of people had a problem with.
Well, okay. Let's explain, you know, what staff and what isn't. Yes, you are staff. But in that
but for
capacity,
the morning show,
you're
that's
not
right.
staff, right?
I'm donating my 45
you're,
minutes
you're,
of time
you're
being on the
your
air.
40, but you don't get paid to do
that's
that.
That's right.
Like
and
the,
and,
like
and the additional time that I take out of my day to actually do the research and put together a show, which is, you know, for that particular show, I've been working on that for weeks.
Right. I understand you did quite a bit of prep for that, as you do for most of your programs, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tried to be able to come out with enough facts to not sound like a complete idiot. I do enough of that during the morning show.
Right. Oh, okay. I'm not going to agree with that. I think
Michael Scott, let me interject here just the one thing, and it has been a long standing policy, internal, not written and not aged in stone, of course. It was sort of a policy that the hosts, the on-air people,
mm-hmm.
do not discuss other shows in that kind of detail. You know, a little comment here and there is okay.
Yeah, a few years ago there were hosts, KSCO hosts that were sniping each other, and
I
thought that was sort of cute at the beginning, but it got to be old really fast.
And it's also
unprofessional.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but in any case, you need to understand why that commentary was written and why it was written with your name in it, because you were the person who, it doesn't matter that you're otherwise a staff person. I don't think that matters one bit. You know, we might differ on that respectfully, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
If you're going to put yourself out there as a host, you better be prepared to take the heat, and that's what I'm doing now.
Right.
I'm taking a lot of heat. I'm taking a lot of heat from people, you know, that feel that what we did. There are some people who feel that who agree with you and think that what we did was wrong, and there are other people that figure, hey, this is something that needed to be done, and way to go.
Yeah, well, I also I happen to agree with you and your mother that the whole point of talk radio is dialogue, and what I did on Tuesday was a soapbox.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, the only person, and I stated that at the very end before I went to the caller, the only person who held on There was one person on the air or on the phone line waiting to go on, and that happened to be Billy Sunshine, who happened to agree with me. And a lot of people thought that he was the only one I wanted to go to because I wanted a pat on the back for the last 42 minutes.
Yeah.
Was not the case. He just happened to be the only one there.
Yeah, I believe that. That's fine. Anyhow, nothing.
That sounds right about Billy Sunshine.
No,
that he will hang on for 40 minutes.
No harm nor dissing was intended.
Right.
By mentioning you. I mean, you got to mention the. Why not?
Yeah.
If you weren't mentioned in the commentary, it's not as if people who heard the show wouldn't know that it's you that was being talked about.
Yeah, and if anything else, it provided great radio because it got people talking, regardless whether they were against me. I want people talking.
That's true.
And
but
talking
I must
about
say,
KSCO.
I must say that I think it's only you and me, and maybe John in Santa Cruz, who's our only caller on the line right now. Maybe all of this is in your and my mind, Scott, about it being great radio.
Uh-huh.
Because if it was great, it was really great radio, I would think we'd have a lot more phone calls.
Well, I don't think so.
Michael, I don't think that the number of callers represent the greatness of a specific program.
Oh, we will always differ on that. I mean, and I'm probably all by myself on that because people have said to me, every time you say, you make a comment about the number of callers who are on the radio. I think it's directly proportional. I think the interest of the radio program is a direct the perfect barometer of it is how many phone callers we have. And if we have lines that are jammed, that means that it's interesting, stimulating programming. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a very good chance that what's going on in people's minds right now, and they're ready to switch the dial, is that this is a little ego trip between MZ and Scott. And who gives a damn? So why are we taking up so much time? You know?
I don't agree.
But anyhow, so I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add, Scott, you know, before we move on.
There is something that I wanted to add. Before people get the wrong idea about KSCO Radio or Scott Free, I will not be in the driver's seat next Tuesday because Erin Bond has a program that she wanted to do on welfare people. And I volunteered to go ahead and she can take my time that'll allow the waters to calm a little bit. And the following week, I'm going to be down in Los Angeles bringing my daughter to Disneyland. So for the next 2 weeks on Tuesday, Scott Free will not be there. He has not been banned from the air from KSCO Radio, and he's not running away from the microphone because he's a coward.
Scott, if you wanted to get this discussion going further, you know, specifically with you and the callers and my, you're welcome to come to the Embassy of the New World Order with your ideas, and you will be dealt with swiftly, though.
A unilateral strike against Scott Free, huh?
No, I will invite you.
Okay. Thank you, Cyril.
Sure. So if you want to do that, you know, you're welcome to come in tomorrow and we can continue on this particular subject.
Well, compliment because
thank you,
Cyril is famous for not needing nor wanting phone calls.
Well, I'm also right in the middle of packing up the entire household to move into the new place by next Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
That's why I'm not down there personally.
Yeah, cover up. I know.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank
you. I'll be listening.
Take care.
Bye.
See ya. Okay, well, that was Scott Free, who caused all this.
Right.
With his great program on, with his very stimulating program. Hey, you know, before we go on to our next caller, John in Santa Cruz, who's been waiting a while, then Al in Santa Cruz, I want to just sort of bring up something that I thought of, that this whole episode made me think
something,
of.
Something that suggests that this program should make some money.
No.
Like doing a commercial break.
Do we need to do a commercial break now?
Yes, we do. We
okay,
have
okay,
we
we'll
have 6 minutes altogether for the whole
okay,
hour.
Cool.
Let's do that. After that, we'll definitely get to John because he's been on for.
Far be it from me to stand in the way of
revenue
for the radio station.
That's right. All right, let's take a commercial break. This is KSCO Saturday Special that deals with the issues swiftly and decisively. Deals with the issues of the Scott Free and the Free Thinkers has been on this Saturday Special already. But is gone, so no more free thinkers here. 479-1080, 477-13, I'm just kidding. 479-1080, 477-1340, telephone numbers. If you would like to be on the program, fax line 475-2967, MZ, your host, and myself, just a little gremlin here, Cyril Vatomsky, that is helping Z run the show. We will be right back after those messages. Stay with us.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Aptos, Sand City, and Bitterwater.
If you have a legal problem, we have a legal solution. Join attorney Richard Alexander for Injury Talk Radio, Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m. for the expert legal advice you need to recover from personal injuries. Pick up the phone and call 800-844-0246. Sponsored by Alexander Hawes and Audette, accident and insurance specialists. Check their record at injurytalkradio.com. Protect yourself and your family. Listen to Injury Talk Radio Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KSCO. Do you like pets? Are you a pet fanatic? We've got a segment of Good Morning Monterey Bay just for you. It's Pet Talk with Angeline Siegel, brought to you by Callie's Whole Pets. Learn about puppies and kittens, vacationing with your pet, exercise, the best thing to feed your animal, and other issues like dealing with a senior dog. These are just some of the topics that Angeline will address during Pet Talk, brought to you by Callie's Whole Pets. That's Tuesday mornings at 7:45 during Good Morning Monterey Bay.
If it's your birthday, why, you get out and celebrate and have a darn good time.
Any way that you deem necessary.
That's right. Here's one of yours.
Oh, wow, man. You think you could play Grand Funk again? All right. Think of all the money I could save on my grocery bill.
They say eat before you go to the grocery store. That don't work if you get high.
No, it doesn't. Wow, man, Malamars and beer, man, that sounds so good.
And remember, here at KSCO Radio and Good Morning Monterey Bay, we don't advocate drug use. We just reserve the right to laugh at people who do. Which is, I think, why we can all laugh at ourselves.
And that's why you're all laughing at me.
Can't laugh at me on that score.
That's true. Susan Simon's, I think, the cleanest one amongst us.
Intelligent conversation on topics of all types. Join Good Morning Monterey Bay, 6 to 9, Monday through Friday, on KSCO.
Get some sour cream and onion chips with some dip, man.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Hello, this is Tom Quinn, the host of Perspectives Radio Show. Every Saturday at noon, we give you cutting-edge news about current events. We interview well-known experts on a variety of issues, so listen in this Saturday from noon to 1 to Perspectives. Thank you.
Why talk when you can argue?
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
That's what we do here on KSCO AM 1080. My name is Cyril Vatomsky, sitting in, helping MZ. MZ is your host. This is a Saturday special with MZ. So don't take, inappropriate conclusions here because you hear my voice.
Why argue when you can talk?
That's, no, wait a minute.
Remember that, that rejoiner just played a second ago?
Yeah.
Why talk when you can argue?
That's right.
Why argue when you can talk?
Well, what's the purpose of talking if you're not arguing? Agreeing?
No, just being more respectful. I mean, you know, there are some programs that where they just people talk on top of each other and yell and scream, and the audience gets cheated out of the program when
Why?
That happens.
No.
Anyhow, don't let me forget to say a couple of things that I wanted to say. Okay.
Okay, I'll say them now.
Say them now.
Yeah.
Okay. I started to say earlier that it reminded me. This episode reminded me of something several years ago. Does the last epidemic mean anything to anybody?
What?
The last epidemic.
Left?
No. L-A-S-T.
Left?
No, not left. Last is in the the end, the final one, the last.
Oh, last.
Epidemic.
Not really.
Okay, the last epidemic was a lecture that was given before some group of I don't know whether it was a group of physicians or a group of educators, I'm not sure, but it was videotaped by a guy in Santa Cruz who was in the video business many years ago, and I think still is, a guy named Eric Tierman from Impact Productions.
I'd say
this is like in the late 70s, maybe early 80s, that this last epidemic was filmed. And it was just a camera trained on a talking head, you know, and that talking head was talking about the horrors of war and what happens when a nuclear weapon goes off. And I remember Eric telling me how many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of copies of that very powerful videotape were requested as a result of that, and how if he wanted to become a millionaire, he could have pretty easily just with that one program that he happened to be videotaping. But he didn't do it. He just, you know, he duplicated these copies apparently and made them available to everybody who wanted to see that lecture and experience that lecture, as scary and as frightening as it was. Just duplicating it for people paying the cost of the duplication and no profit on top of that.
Well, people always loved hearing scary stories. Remember yourself and by the campfire. Let's get to the callers, maybe.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah, I'll bring on John in Santa Cruz, who's been on hold for quite a while here.
Hello,
John.
Yeah, I'm on the air.
Yes, you are on the air. Unfortunately, Z just cut himself off. So he will probably call in, or we'll have Michael do something about it. So what's on your mind, John?
Okay, my I want to bring up a couple of points about basically the consequences of the war on terror, the things that are happening because of it. One of them has to do with the prosecution of Lynn Stewart, and the other one has to do with depleted uranium.
Who's Lynn Stewart?
Lynn Stewart is a lawyer who is defending a terrorism suspect.
Oh, the one that became a go-between the suspect and the terrorist?
Yeah. I mean, the one charge that I kind of am willing to believe is legitimate is the charge that the government made, that she basically made a press release indicating her prisoner's opinion about what his rebel group should do in Egypt. Mm,
so she wasn't passing information between her client that was in the jail cell and the other and those outside.
Yeah, I think she was just making a press release, basically, what happened there. And so the question was, well, there's a couple of issues around that. One is that the law which makes that illegal is actually an administrative order from President Bush. It's not something that passed by Congress, unless you want to say that the Patriot.
Hello. Oh, I don't know why, MZ, but you dropped off, and John, as soon as you came on, and then now MZ is gone. All right, everybody is dropping off. So let me do that, and in the meantime get Jerry on the road on the cell phone. Jerry, welcome. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, my call is basically just to add some perspective to the title of Horror of War, Horrors of War. I find it very interesting that we're also willing to sort of qualify death, make one death either more horrific or more honorable than others. Why don't we talk about the horrors of life in general?
Well, Jerry, can I ask you a question? For example, would you say that a death of a Dalai Lama and compared to a death, for example, of Fidel Castro or Robert Mugabe or Saddam Hussein, for that matter, would be more, a bigger problem to the world, and it would be bigger loss than the death of Fidel Castro, for example. Wouldn't you say that?
Maybe if you're talking about politics, or if you're talking about
I'm talking about general humanity. From the point of view of humanity, humanistic ideas of freedom, liberty, all of those things, don't you think that the death of Fidel Castro and death of Dalai Lama would be two distinctly different, opposingly different events? One would be a good thing and one would be a bad thing?
Well, I don't know if you could say one would be a good thing or one would be a bad thing. I think there would be good and bad outcomes of each of those things that occurred. But I'm not speaking so much as who dies, but the manner in which people die is what I'm talking about. And people seem to attach more significance to certain types, styles of death, if you will, as to others. I mean, what's the difference? There's been, I don't know the exact number of people killed in the war as of today.
What? Which war?
I would assume...
Which war, Jerry?
Iraqi. I would assume that there are more deaths on the freeways of America every single day than there are, than there have been in the entire war. That is the kind of perspective I'm talking about. When you attach more significance to a particular way someone dies, in my opinion, that
well, but you see, there is a distinction. One is the unfortunate circumstances that terminate somebody's life, and on the other hand, a will to do something if we're talking about Americans, for example, Americans dying in that war in Iraq. A will to bring liberation to a distant land. I think those are, in terms of intent, are different things.
Right. But in the way that they are skewed and utilized and portrayed by people, that has other effects on it than what you're talking about. I'm talking more metaphysically, and you're talking a little bit more... realistically, I suppose.
Okay.
Or I wouldn't say realistically. I'd say almost
go ahead.
I'd say pragmatically. You're speaking more pragmatically. I'm speaking a little more metaphysically. Of course, if you have an evil man who dies and a great man who lives, there's a quid pro quo and that occurs. I'm speaking a lot about the way that death is perceived by people and the way that attachment and sentiment is put upon certain types of death. The Terry Schiavo case is a perfect example. Why was her death illuminated to the point that obscures all other types of death? Why are the
Well, because,
people...
you know, for one thing, it was a death of convenience. That a living being was dehydrated to death because of the convenience.
And miserable execution. I want to know what Jerry thinks about that. Sorry to knock you off the track, Jerry, but what do you think about the Terry Schiavo thing? Was that a terrible thing that was allowed to happen, or a good thing?
I think it was terrible. I think it was a terrible thing.
Good.
I
agree with you.
I don't think her death is any more significant or less significant than the guy that was two rooms down and the same thing was happening to him. And also the semantics of it all. When you talk about the horrors of war, you seem to be marginalizing any other horrific death. You mentioned what happens when someone, when a nuclear bomb blows up and how it twists deforms people or whatever, the horrors that occur there. How about when somebody runs into a tree at their SUV at 60 miles an hour? There's horror everywhere. And to limit it to some other part of reality seems to me to be, it's utilitarian when people do that. They're doing that in order to only illuminate their own point as opposed to really looking realistically at death in general and seeing how that affects the whole. It happens all the time. It's sort of the sellout of death, if you will. And war, I'm going to just end it saying this. War is a reality. Just like people who die on the freeways, just like people who die from cancer, just like people who are murdered. And to attach any or more significance to the horrors of war as opposed to the horrors of daily reality use it, makes it, puts it way out of control, and that's why there is this polarized opinion of it. And I'll take the rest of your thoughts off the air.
Okay. Jerry, appreciate your call and your interesting perspective to this Saturday special, where it is now 10:55, 5 minutes remain in hour number one of the Saturday special with MZ and Cyril. Let's see. I guess I guess John in Santa Cruz didn't get to, was cut off here, so let me see if I can put him back on real quick here.
Hello?
John.
You're on here again?
My mistake here, I hit the wrong button here thousands of miles away here, and it dropped you, and it shouldn't have. So what were you going to say?
I was just going to go on a little bit about Lynn Stewart. Basically what it does effectively is it may chill other lawyers from attempting to represent their clients in a robust fashion, because Lynn Stewart's being prosecuted for one little mistake that she made, you know, at least that's what she claims, just one little mistake. And, you know, the rest of it is basically based on some wiretaps of conversations that they had between the lawyer and the client, which were done without the lawyer's knowledge.
Excuse me, what are you talking about?
Talking about Lynn Stewart. She was prosecuted by the Bush administration for allegedly aiding and abetting terrorists or something, because she had a client who was a terrorism suspect. And
the government alleges and accuses her and prosecutes her for passing on information between her client that was in the jail, and she was representing him, and
under Homeland Security
and some I don't think it refers to Patriot Act.
Okay, so the point here is,
well, basically, is it the concern that other lawyers may feel afraid to represent their clients if they're accused of terrorism?
I gotcha.
You know, so it reduces the quality of lawyers that are available to defend people, basically, is the net effect of that. And, you know, so basically, then my second point was about depleted uranium. Basically, I was listening to a show by some, I forget the guy's name, but he was on at 2 o'clock yesterday. And he was basically poo-pooing the whole subject of depleted uranium because he was comparing the degree of hazard of depleted uranium to the level of hazard of carbon-14 in the human body. And my first impression of that was, well, he's totally off base and all this stuff. But actually, you know, I have a degree in physics from University of California, Santa Cruz. So I whipped out
they
my physics books.
They have a physics class there?
Yeah, I have a physics degree. So I whipped out my physics books and went to work, and I figured out that basically he may have a point that half a gram of depleted uranium absorbed into your body basically gives you the same radiation dose as the total amount of carbon-14 that's in your human body.
Okay. So thanks very much for your call.
That was our Vernon show.
Okay. Gee, we only have a minute, but let's bring Al on from Santa Cruz, and we can hold you over to the other side, Al. Welcome to the Saturday Special.
Hey, guys. Good show. And, you know, sometimes people don't call in because they're so enthralled by your conversation.
I keep telling, every time I complain about people not being interested because we're not getting phone calls, I'm hoping that someone like you will call.
A lot of times I'm not able to get to a phone. I'm working or whatever, you know. Anyway, but, yeah, you got to have some barometer, and the number of calls probably got to be it. Anyway,
did you hear the program this week?
No, I didn't, and I wish I did. But, you know, I know Scott's probably always been like class clown or troublemaker or something like that, and that's one of the things I really enjoy about him. He just throws a bunch of stuff out there to stir up things.
Yeah.
And
he's an instigator, sort of like yours truly.
So yeah. I think it makes for a good show.
Yeah.
Anyway, and, you know.
All right, guys, you know what? Let me interrupt here, and let me put Al on hold here, because
okay.
We are
thanks.
Out of time for this particular segment. This is the end of the first hour of the Saturday Special. MZ and yours truly, Cyril, will be back after the news.
Bless you, Cyril.
You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, and now news break.
USA Radio Network News, this is Cynthia King. Two attacks in Cairo today left two people dead, though both are believed to be attackers. In the first, a bomb went off near the Egyptian Museum. Cairo Security Director Nabil El-Azabi says that was a suicide attack. The Interior Ministry says the bomber was a member of a group that planned the April 7th bombing that killed three tourists in Cairo. Not long after that explosion, two veiled women opened fire on a tourist bus but missed. Azabi says one of those women shot and killed the other before shooting and wounding herself. President Bush gave his weekly radio address today, following up on Thursday's primetime news conference to the nation, by saying that individual retirement accounts are the way to Social Security reform.
Third, any reform of Social Security must replace the empty promises being made to younger workers with real assets, real money. I believe the best way to achieve this goal is to give younger workers the option of putting a portion of their payroll taxes into a voluntary personal retirement account.
And the Democrats use their radio response time to blame Republican senators of trying to claim the courts and other political bodies to influence policy.
Now the Republicans in the Senate, instead of dealing with this litany of failures, are threatening to claim ownership of the Supreme Court and other federal courts, hoping to achieve political results on subjects like abortion, stem cells, the environment, and civil rights that they cannot get from the proper political bodies, the Congress and the presidency.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Greg and Elisa Hall met at church. 2 years later, they were married, and both of them felt a call to go into the ministry. You're going to be surprised to find out how they put themselves through Christian college. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home-Based Business System. Elisa's parents had a successful home-based business working with the 3-Step Plan, so she knew it could work for her and Greg, too. They not only worked their way through school, they made more money than most of their professors. The 3-Step Plan was fun, and it paid better than getting a job. Would you like this to happen to you? Go online at 3stepplan.com or call 800-680-8553. Today, Greg is a full-time minister and Elisa a stay-at-home mom. Thousands of people are making money working from home, and you can too. For information, go to 3stepplan.com or call toll-free 800-680-8553. 800-680-8553.
The House has now agreed on the new federal budget that had already been approved by the Senate. Details on that story from USA's Connie Lawn in Washington.
Congress has passed the 5-year, $14 trillion budget. It permits a new round of tax cuts and curbs some Medicare and Medicaid payments. It also allows oil drilling in a small part of the Alaskan Wildlife Refuge. The House vote was 214-211. The Senate vote had been 52-47. President Bush called the budget responsible and says it reins in spending. Connie Lawn, USA Radio Network News, Washington.
In news out of Kabul this hour, 3 civilians are dead following an American-led airstrike on an Afghan rebel camp. The United States military says that 1 Afghan woman, an Afghan man, and a child were killed. 2 other children were wounded, while 4 militants were also killed in that strike. You're listening to USA Radio News.
My name is Jeannie. I'm able to work from home and be a full-time mom, and that means everything to me.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home-Based Business System. Thousands of Americans are successfully working from home with the 3-Step Plan.
My name is Bill, and I've been able to quit my job, pay off all of my bills.
To find out how you could work from home with your own home-based business, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-879-5819. 800-879-5819.
A police officer in Albuquerque, New Mexico, says that Jennifer Wilbanks lied about her abduction. The 32-year-old went missing on Tuesday night. She apparently got cold feet about her upcoming wedding and left to have some alone time. The police officer says Wilbanks traveled from Georgia to Nevada.
Ms. Wilbanks had traveled from the Georgia area to Las Vegas, Nevada via bus. Earlier today, she traveled from Las Vegas back to the Albuquerque area, again via bus, arriving this evening.
And this officer says Wilbanks is upset about all the stress placed on her and on her family.
She's just she's obviously very concerned about the stress that she's been through, the stress been placed on her family. So she is very upset.
She reportedly will not face any charges in New Mexico, and authorities in Georgia are reviewing the case. That wedding in question was scheduled for today. More news at USARadio.com. Cynthia King with news on the USA Radio Network.
We got music and weather for you here on KSCO.
That's right, you're listening to AM 1080 KSCO. I'm Michael Williams, and I've got your weather forecast for today, Saturday, April 30th, 2005. We are seeing partly cloudy skies, highs in the 60s to lower 70s, afternoon sea breeze, 10 to 20 miles per hour, and tonight mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, lows in the mid 40s to lower 50s, evening sea breeze, 5 to 15 miles per hour. On the bay, we see a west to northwest wind, 5 to 10 knots, increasing to 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 3 feet, mixed swell west 2 to 3 feet at 12 seconds, and south 2 to 3 feet at 14 seconds. Patchy fog in the morning. And now we take you to hour 2 of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Welcome back, everybody. MZ, are you still there?
Sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
All right, welcome back to the Saturday special. This is the second hour with MZ that is supposedly somewhere there on the... Oh, wait a minute. Huh, no wonder. I had your pot down.
It's operator error.
Operator error.
Now, I was just going to thank you for being there. I still will. You're great. But that was your fault, not mine.
No, it wasn't anybody's fault.
I did everything in time with the music, and you said, well, where are you, Z?
Yeah, because I wasn't watching the pot. Because there's too much pot in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
I think it was John or Jim dropped off, so
yeah,
we don't
I
have
guess,
him anymore.
I guess he must have been mad or something.
No, he wasn't. He was actually
Al was going to talk.
Yeah, that was Al. That's right. That was Al. Al was okay, and he was.
Oh, Al, it looks like Al is back. So let's bring Al back on. Okay.
Okay. Bring Al back.
Okay. Yeah, I got cut off, but I'm back.
Okay.
Anyway, I just wanted to comment that last person was talking about, you know, comparing different types of deaths and whatever, and why should an auto accident be less worse than a death in war. But, you know, one of the things that always gets me, these risk-benefit analysis guys that talk about, like, oh, we want to put this power plant next to your house or something like that, and say the risk of you dying from it is no worse than you going down the freeway. And the thing is, it doesn't say who's getting the benefits. Now, you might say I'm getting some of the benefits from the power, but, you know, if I go skiing and there's a risk to it, or if I drive my car, I'm receiving the benefits. I'm taking on the risk because I receive something for it. And a lot of times, they're wanting you to take on the risk without receiving a benefit for it. And I think if, you know, you die in a car wreck, you're receiving the benefit because you decided to do that, whereas if you get caught in the middle of a war, you know, it's not quite the same. Somebody else is coming at you and disrupting your life. Anyway, I think the most important thing is that people try and have like an honest perspective on things in the world, and it seems like both sides always want to avoid that. You know, people who eat meat never want to kill an animal, you know, or vegans who wear leather shoes and this type of thing, and they just need to kind of face up to things and kind of be honest about it.
That's
is
very,
that what they're called,
good.
Vegans, or is it vegans?
Vegans.
I always thought it was vegans, but you're probably right.
Vegans is much better.
They used to just be vegetarians, and then you were ovo if you ate eggs, or ovo-lacto if you drank milk, and I don't know, these vegans, they sound like something from another planet or whatever. But
yeah, vega, yeah, that's right.
Well, Al, we wish to thank you for your call to the Saturday special.
Okay.
Okay, take care now.
Bye.
Well, let's see now. I think our next caller will be good old Jim in Santa Cruz. Am I correct?
No, I think so, but you're pushing the buttons there.
Yeah, okay. You know, I keep dropping the connection for some reason. I have a weak internet connection here. So, Jim, are you on?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Hey,
thank
welcome.
You.
Thanks for waiting.
This has been very interesting as the programming last week. I thought Scott raising the subject of the whole at this point in time, there's a great deal of concern in the entire world, I would say, on the issue. However, I was thinking the only problem I had with it. I'm glad he said his reason this morning, but however, I would think that doing 42-minute lead-in and then the only call being Billy Sunshine would be like if you put Pat on the air to do 42 minutes on pop. I mean, if you put him on the air, if you put Scott or anybody on the air to do 40 minutes on population control, and then your only caller be Population Pat, that would not pass the smell test. And I think that's probably how a lot of the listeners got the opinion that it was a setup. But if
setup?
If nobody else stayed on the air, I suppose there was nothing he could have done except to avoid that taking no call.
Yeah.
The other thing is, Michael, I don't know if you had heard, but the very nice comment that Alan Combs gave KSCO on his radio show last night.
Yeah, I heard about it, actually.
Yes,
yeah.
he took a caller from Watsonville, that's a regular that we all know and love.
Richard N. Watsonville.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Took a call from him, and then he immediately identified this station that he was calling from, and he mentioned your mother, how impressed that you put her on to do commentaries, and how impressed that she's a brilliant woman.
Yeah, so, well, that was very nice of Alan.
Yes, I thought it was his. So that the KSCO's a name got mentioned pretty far and wide. Now, as far as taking callers that disagree, I would challenge someone. I mean, I'm Rush Limbaugh, of course, was mentioned by Scott, but he's the big dog on the block, of course. But the thing with Rush is, I've always heard him make the statement that he'd be more than willing. And if you'll notice, if you'll listen closely, that anyone that calls Rush to disagree with him always gets more than the ditto heads, always gets more time.
That's pretty much the way we've operated, too.
And the second,
and I always thought that was very unfair for Rush to be accused of.
Yes, you know. And it's done regularly, but it's people who just don't listen or have already. I mean, you know, you'll get callers who disagree, but they say they've never listened to the program. And the same way is with, if you'll notice, the style of Michael Medved. Somebody who I enjoy listening to very much. Now, he's the opposite. If you call in and agree with him, your chances of getting on the air are very minimal.
Uh-huh.
He forms his show around taking people's of opposite opinions. I mean, practically with everything he says, he will include, if you disagree, I want to hear from you.
Right.
Yeah, there's almost never anybody on the air with Medved that agrees with him.
Right. Now, I've never gone through the screening process there, but I can't imagine that's just coincidence.
Wow.
I mean, I imagine he could have a bunch of his own ditto heads if he wanted to put them all on the air.
No, he wants to argue. He wants to argue. That's whole purpose.
That's good radio.
That's
talk radio. Like Michael said earlier, that's talk radio.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it's all about. I mean, if you, I think if a truth in advertising, if you're going to go on the air and do a commentary, which the subject certainly is worthy of, but I don't know that KSCO does hour long commentary.
No,
we
do them as long as Kay wants them.
Well, that's the point. That's not the point I'm making.
I know. I tell her to keep them short if she can, but she has a lot.
That's not the point I'm making. That was not comparable. When Kay does a commentary is not comparable to a 42-minute ramp. I mean, if you look at the fascinating thing in the world is, and it's getting minimal or no play, is the mass grave that they're uncovering 200 miles south of Baghdad, where they are estimating that there are 1,500 Kurds, and they can tell that they're Kurds because of the colorful type of clothing that the Kurds wear. I mean, that were left in that grave, 1,500, mostly women and children. And then and there are people so fixed in their hatred for Bush that they wouldn't consider, stop and think, maybe it wasn't such a bad idea after all.
No, of course it wasn't a bad idea. It was a great idea.
It's like the Jewish folks say, never again. And it's, and that attitude, I think, is well worth keeping in mind. To sign in on mass murder because you dislike George Bush, I think it's beyond the pale. Thanks.
Okay, Jim. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Who's up next? Probably Millie in Rio del Mar. Okay.
Yeah, that's her turn.
Yeah, let's do that. Millie! Oh, you know what, Cyril? My connection is off. You'll have to put Millie on the air. She's on 8.
Oh, I think she's on. Millie, are you on?
No, I don't think
no,
so.
No, okay. Well, okay.
I lost my internet connection for some
okay,
reason.
Okay, so I'm
stable,
her air button is flashing. Millie. Millie, are you on?
Yep.
Yeah, your buttons are flashing?
Okay.
Mine?
Okay.
Okay, you are there. Good. Hi, Millie. How you doing?
Oh, well, thank you.
I think you enjoyed Scott's program immensely the other
oh,
day,
yes,
right?
Oh, yes, I did.
Uh-huh.
I was grateful for it.
Yeah.
And hi, Cyril.
Hello, Millie.
Michael, here's where I'm giving examples of why the number of callers in to your shows do not necessarily indicate listener interest. Regarding Cyril's...
I hope you're right.
Yeah. Regarding Cyril's Sunday show, I would prefer a two-hour lecture uninterrupted by some inane calls. Not to say that they're all inane. Some of them are astute. But many times it just takes totally away from what he wants to give us. Now, regarding Scott's show, here's another case. I was gratified to hear 45 minutes or whatever, a vital commentary of great interest to me. And this type of commentary almost never heard on this station, with a few exceptions.
Yeah, like you and Billy and...
No. Wait a minute.
Are you talking about commentary? Oh, okay.
This particular subject, and I did scan through Scott's show. I didn't hear it in an entirety, but through the wonders of technology, I was able to recreate that from the thin air and listen to some of that. And I can tell you that some of those things I heard on... somewhere around midnight that time on those shows. And I think that's why Billy Graff, when he did the promo, was imitating Art Bell with his low voice.
Oh, well, you lost me there, but may I go on to just
the promo
for
this
point?
Show.
What?
Not the promo for Scott.
No, for this show. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that was great with his lower voice. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was better than the Art Bell. He did a better Art Bell announcer than Art Bell's announcer.
Yeah.
my source from what I'm about to say is from a retired editor. His name is Al Feldstein.
From Mad Magazine.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That Al, who's now living in Montana, a New Yorker who actually moved to Montana. Can you believe it?
Oh, yeah, I know. I knew.
He and Hartman are going to be great buddies.
Well, there was another New Yorker, wasn't there?
At opposite poles.
There was another New Yorker that moved to Montana, wasn't there? His name was Ted Kaczynski?
Yeah, from Chicago or somewhere. I wonder how Ted
he would
is
have
doing.
Been a neighbor of Hartman's if he hadn't been killed.
Yes, he lived nearby, right? Well, that would have been okay.
Millie, what a terrible thing to say.
You know, you're saying that liberals never have a sense of humor. You know, come on.
But that's a sick thing that
well,
you just
I have,
said.
Yeah, that, I like that kind of humor.
That's terrible.
Well, let me just get into this because I'll be taking up too much time. Anyway, that's the source, good old Al Feldstein. The war. It's all oil. It's all it's ever been is oil. Now, here's a quote from Al's stuff. The reason Bush and company invaded Iraq was not because of, as we all know now, of WMDs or to oust the evil dictator or to free and democratize the Iraqi people. On the contrary, the real reason the Bush-Cheney Seven Sisters, that's the seven big oil companies, Cyril, Saudi Arabia families, cabal, the real reason invaded Iraq was to keep Iraq's oil off the market.
Millie,
just finish my point before
it was off the market.
Down. Okay. So it was all, we got some of it, yeah, but it wasn't on the world market. That's
no, it was off the market for all of those years, for 10 years.
Well, yeah, because of course. And
so no point invading.
Yeah. Oh.
Well,
so your editor is
no,
full
no,
of it.
This was before the war. This is before it started, and Saddam was in the process of appealing to UN to have the sanctions lifted. He was talking to the French, the Russians, the Germans about developing his oil extraction capacity. But if that ever happened, getting back to the quote, Saddam Hussein was able to market his full oil potential outside of the control of OPEC, the price of crude would plunge.
Iraq was a part of OPEC. Iraq has always been.
At one time. But it would not have been then if he sold directly to those three countries.
No, Iraq was a part of oil. By the way, do you know in terms of United States dependence on foreign oil? Do you know how much do we import from, say, Saudi Arabia?
I understand it's only about 10% or.
Yeah,
something.
About 15%. That's it, and then even less than that in Iraq, from Iraq.
Well, apparently the Bush family et al. Has a lot of connections with it. And so it's 10% for the better for them. But if you really don't think that oil was the reason for this invasion, I think all of you are in denial. So with that, I'm going to say adieu.
Adios.
Yeah, okay. There goes Millie.
Yes.
All right.
Michael, we do need to make some money here. How about that as a novel idea? And we'll take Millie's exit. Just as a signal,
We should come up with a new format for KSCO.
What?
All Ciro all the time, because you really have all the right ideas, because you have your priorities straight, like nobody else, including me.
Yeah.
You really do.
I do.
Yeah.
I do, because I take this thing seriously. All right, let's continue taking this thing seriously. This is the Saturday special that deals with free thinkers in the matter MZ wants to. However, MZ wants to deal with free thinkers. I mean, from the Free Thinkers Hour. And never mind. This is KSCO's Saturday special, and MZ will be right back. I will be right back, too, so stay with us.
You're listening to KSCO, serving SoCal, Soledad, and Lucia.
Here's the bad news. Credit card companies are charging up to 22% interest these days. Now the good news. If you're a homeowner, there's a good chance that you can save a lot of money on credit card debt with a tax-deductible mortgage loan, even if your credit rating is low. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. We would love to help you save money by consolidating credit card debt with a new home mortgage. Please call us at Pacific Inland today, 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Here's your chance to get your Goodyears during the Goodyear Ultimate Champion Tire Sale. That's right, now through April 9th, put the pedal to the metal and save on a large selection of popular Goodyear tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit a participating Goodyear retailer for complete details. Plus, check out Goodyear's Assurance brand of passenger tires. Race in and get your Goodyears today. Goodyear, the official tire supplier of NASCAR. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing Incorporated.
What do you suppose crosses a waiter's mind when he's carrying a tray full of sizzling hamburgers? As heads turn and eyes follow, he may be wondering if he has something on his face. Or maybe he thinks he looks pretty good in his puffy white pirate shirt. Sorry, friend. They're not staring at you. They're wondering, is that my hamburger? Beef. It's what's for dinner.
Funded by America's beef producers with Chekhov dollars.
Hi, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody. If fear is preventing you from seeing the dentist, listen to how we've helped others with sedation dentistry.
I'm Pat. Well, we had a consultation. He went over all my x-rays. Frankly, I was skeptical that he could get me numb or the treatments would be painless. And he prescribed a course of treatment and went into the office. And 5 hours later, I was out smiling and felt absolutely nothing. I would highly recommend Dr. Peabody to anybody that has any apprehension about a dentist. He's the man, and I'm a true believer. And the staff is fantastic.
We've helped hundreds of people wake up to a beautiful smile. Let us help you, too.
Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 457-0343. That's 831-457-0343. Find Dr. Peabody's sedation dentistry on the web at drpeabody.com or in the Yellow Pages.
you too can wake up to a beautiful smile.
Hi, it's MZ. You know, being in the radio business here at KSCO, I gotta tell you, there's never a dull moment. There's controversy, there's emotion, there's news, there's information. We discuss and bring to light issues. We have fun, we get silly, we get angry, but above all, we try to make a positive difference in the lives of our listeners. What I really want you to know about is one particular person who has made a truly positive difference in our lives here at KSCO. That would be Dennis, the owner and team captain of Day and Night Computer. We depend on computers for everything at KSCO. Dennis and his intimate family of high-tech professionals has made it possible for this station to grow and flourish as it never has before. Why? Because he and his crew are competent, attentive, fast, no-nonsense, and truly interested in solving your computer problems, whatever they are, right now and without ripping you off or making your job a career. Call Dennis at 465-7340 if you want a quick and clean fix to your computer-related problem and tell him MZ sent you. While you're at it, you'll probably make a new friend. Call Dennis at Day and Night Computer, 465-7340.
Learn the secrets of small business success. Hi, I'm Michael Mira. Listen to AM 1080 KSCO Monday at 1 p.m. for the Small Business Cafe. Get ahead with the latest tips, insights, and ideas from successful business authors, organizations, and owners. That's the Small Business Cafe Monday at 1 p.m. on AM 1080 KSCO or join us online www.smallbusinesscafe.net. Brought to you by Pacific Mountain Advisors, FirstNet Mortgage, and by Santa Cruz Small Business Monthly. We help your business grow.
What an appropriate music. We're back here with Saturday Special. Here's Z and Cyril. Telephone number is 479-1080, 477-1340, fax line 475-2967. And we're talking about the war and the horrors of the war. And no matter how many times do I have to go on the air telling people why did we invade Iraq, there's nothing to do with WMD for whatever reason. Even the most excited listeners to my program come in and say, we didn't go to Iraq because of WMDs. Well, duh. So, this discussion, I guess, I don't know why Michael is.
I'm here.
Oh, you're here. Okay, all right, all right. I thought you
were on a roll. Why interrupt?
I thought you were a little somewhere distracted by there some, you know, looking for no-see-ums over there in Arizona. Is that the no-see-um season?
No what?
No-see-um.
No-see-um.
Yeah, there's a little things, little bugs that bite you over there in.
Oh, I haven't seen them.
Oh, well, that's why they call them no-see-um. All right, you want to take Terry from Capitola?
Yeah, I think we should take Capitola Terry's phone call right away. So let me see if we can bring Terry on. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
How are you? Be honest.
I'm good. I'm very good.
Good.
Long time no talk.
Why, yes.
Two real quick comments. Yeah, I have been screened by Michael Medved, and he wouldn't let me on because I agreed with him. And so in answer to the people about whether or not it's hard to get on the show, if you agree with them, it is. And the second thing is I think I hate about the whole anti-war argument is it's the argument that is not an argument. It's an argument to end an argument.
Yeah.
Because it presumes that people who are on the opposite side are pro-war. And, you know, with the exception of a few sadists, nobody's pro-war.
Nobody's pro-war. That's exactly right.
And the argument is not whether you're pro-war or anti-war. The argument is how best to reduce the incidence of war in the world. And you know, there's a strong argument to be made for deterrence and strength as a way to eliminate war. And when people like Scott Free get on and talk about the horrors of war, as though if we just merely had a different policy, the horrors of war would disappear from the world, that it was just merely a matter of making a somewhat different decision, if it was that simple, then you know, maybe you would have a valid point. But the problem with that whole argument is that it's not an argument. It's an argument to end argument.
Now, who can argue with that?
Probably.
Not me.
Well, I'll if you want me, I'll try.
Okay.
But I don't think I want to, but I think you're absolutely correct. There is, however, another subset of the layer to this is that a lot of the information, well, so-called information, and I want to tread very carefully here because I don't want to go on against Scott while Scott is not here with us, but I listened to some of his show while doing this this one, you know, helping MZ doing his show. And what I heard is a lot of this, or at least some of this stuff, was in insane repetition of the really silly subjects, like that it was the United States that propped up Saddam Hussein, or some such, you know, with the Rumsfeld going in there, and all of that. I think that was in there, which is really a repetition of all of this conspiracy stuff that is identical both on the right and on the left. That's why calling anybody that goes on with those kinds of ideas a loony lefty is not appropriate, because it could be a loony lefty or a loony righty.
Well, exactly, and I agree with that statement too. That's the other argument that ends arguments, is that rather than understanding that it's a dilemma of how do we promote more peace rather than less peace, it's not a matter of whether there's peace or war. It's a matter of, there's always going to be war. There's always going to be peace. You just want more of the peace and less of the war. And so the argument about how to have more peace and less war is a complex and nuanced argument that requires intelligent reflection and sometimes subtlety in policy. I mean, for example, you may have to say that the enemy of my enemy is my friend in the case of why we would be Saddam's friend for some of the time and not his friend for other parts
correct,
of the time.
Correct.
It's a complex argument.
It's a very complex argument, especially considering that everything that happened in the world before 1989 should be treated through the huge prism of looking at every single event as a proxy for the confrontation between the United States and the USSR.
Well, exactly. And the other part of the argument that people make, that's the non-argument, is they say, I'm for peace because I'm a good and decent person and hate war. If you're against it, you must be a bad and evil person.
Oh, it's like all of those people that accuse Schwarzenegger of being against education. As if somehow spending more money on teachers' unions is pro-education.
Well, exactly. And so you get to the point where people make their arguments. They are
Terry.
I mean, instead of to the facts. They say that, you know, your arguments are bad arguments because you're an evil person and you want to sit there and raid the world for oil or whatever. And these are, like I say, non-arguments.
Terry.
Yes.
Did you send an email right before you called?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I guess it's just coincidental that an email from Terry just came in, a vicious, vicious, vicious email.
I don't send vicious emails, not my nature.
All right. Yeah, so, all righty, thank you.
All right, thank you, bye.
See ya. Okay, there goes Larry. No, there goes, hello?
We're still here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go to Salvador now, okay?
All right.
Santa Cruz, Salvador. Right here on our stage. Hello, Salvador. You're on the air on KSCO on the Saturday special.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
And I just want to say that I do agree with Scott, and I listen to the program. And this is my second time calling, and, you know, I totally agree with him. I didn't expect to have him to have a job the next day, but I was...
Hey, now, why would you say such a thing? tell me why would you say such a thing?
Because of you guys firing the other guy that you fired because he disagreed with you.
That wasn't why. Are you talking about Peter Werby when
yeah.
I was talking about him earlier
yeah.
today?
Uh-huh.
No. Boy.
And I kind of like
I thought Scott. I explained it, but I guess I didn't do a very good job.
I kind of like Scott because he's funny, and I listen to their program every morning. I wake up with them every morning. And I never called to agree or disagree with your program.
It's a different thing, Salvador. The morning show is the morning show. We purposely don't make it political.
Yeah, I know.
Now, Scott, in his position on the morning show, he is an employee of KSCO. On the noon show, he's a communicaster. He's a talk host who doesn't pay us, nor do we pay him. We thought that he's good enough to put him on the air to do an interesting program once a week or so. And he did. There's no question about that. And
well,
the only problem that we had is that it was such a fiery, a controversial subject, and it was so one-sided that no one was given a chance to call in. And it disturbs me to hear you say that you expected that Scott would not have a job the next day.
Well,
why would you say that?
I mean, maybe I was just making a joke because, you know, I know they have a sense of humor in the morning, but I didn't know, you know, the It was different.
People
from the
do not have to agree. People who work at the radio station don't have to agree with the ownership of the radio station. That would be crazy. But yeah. They do have to be respectful.
It's like agreeing with the philosophical position of your favorite musician. How is that related to one to another? If I had, for example, to agree with all the or to listen to everybody only to those people that I philosophically agree with, I probably would only listen to Ted Nugent.
Yeah. Well, the impression that I have from your station is that you have said, as the most of you talk shows are right wing oriented.
Yeah.
And
but we sure encourage people from the other side to call. Not too many people do choose to call, and that discourages me too.
That's true. I never call, and although I mainly disagree with most of your programs.
So call more often, damn it!
I do listen a lot, and I've been listening for many years.
Good.
And going back to Michael Medved, I do listen to him, and I know he takes calls from people who disagree with him. And last Thursday, he had this person who was saying that some of the improvements in Afghanistan was bring back this golf course that they needed $200,000 to put up a new sprinkler system. How many people in Afghanistan plays golf? I mean, I see that place and it's totally devastated by the war. And
well, the United Nations personnel have to play golf sometime. And they cannot just go to India from Afghanistan to do that, right?
Well, anyways, I just wanted to call and say that I did agree with Scott. And I
think a lot of people agreed with Scott, and people don't get it. Just because I disagree with Scott or my mother disagrees with Scott doesn't mean that we want to muzzle Scott.
Well,
we just want Scott to be fair to everybody like we are.
Yeah, no, I heard him this morning saying, you know, why he didn't got any calls or took any calls from people, so that way he didn't get distracted. And it makes sense because I know he was really fire, and
he's a good guy. Scott, and he put out some good radio.
Yeah. So anyway,
I don't think people should be all burned up because Kay did a commentary answering it.
No, I respect you, you know, and because you guys take both sides, so I respect you, Mom, and I respect you for doing it. And thanks again for giving me the opportunity to talk.
Okay, Salvador, thanks for being a great listener.
Thank you.
Listener. Take care.
Bye bye.
Here comes Richard N. Watsonville. Wow, the famous man from Alan Combs last night, huh?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I didn't believe there was that many people actually listening. But believe me, there's really no horror to war once you get the hang of it. I survived it.
You know all about that. That's
I've
right.
been there twice. 325 combat missions, and we got 5,732 confirmed kills.
Did you listen to Scott's program this week?
Not only did I listen to it, I think he should be muzzled. I mean,
what
it was a scare
say?
Tactic, and I really think he's really paranoid for the future of his daughter. Now, that's not the way to raise our children. I think Mrs. Werling's, I don't know what you call it, rebuttal, or her reply to his program was right on the spot. She gave him bloody ears. Not only that, she gave him something to think about in the form of, what you gonna do when the bomb drops? Solve the problem, Scott. You know, he didn't have any solutions. Billy Sunshine had no solutions. It was just a love fest when Billy finally got on. And, you know, I mean, all the paranoia and hysteria over nuclear war is so far, you know, it's been, I don't know, it's been talked to death about. I mean, but yet nobody talks about what to do when it happens. And when it does happen, nobody's going to know who fired first. That's the best part and the funniest part. I mean, if you guys think you know what you're going to do, why don't you lay out the solutions and let's hear that instead of, oh, nuclear war. And instead of putting Scott Free out there, why don't you throw Rosemary? She's answering the phone. Let Rosemary walk the plank. She knows how to talk. I mean, it's really like, news people should be muzzled. You don't hear Ed Baxter. You don't hear Jennifer Jones or Rosie Allen. You don't hear these people that are in news doing their own talk
program.
Who was
that guy? Who was that guy who used to be on KGO in the afternoon?
Pete Wilson.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Was it Pete Wilson?
No.
KGO on Friday?
Yeah, oh, gosh. What's wrong with my brain?
You mean David Gold?
No, there was a newscaster, the South Bay News Bureau guy that they put on.
Oh, Gavin or...
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He was pretty right-wing, too. Pretty conservative.
Yeah, he was pretty conservative, but where's he at now? You see what I mean?
Last I know, he was in an RV with his wife traveling around the country.
He was the guy that had something to do with marrying into the Getty family. J. Paul Getty family, right?
I don't think so.
He's an airplane pilot or something.
No.
The guy that owned the radio station.
Nope.
Well, it doesn't...
Oh, man, help me out
you're
here.
You're not thinking
somebody.
Of Greg Jarrett, are you?
No.
And he was a left, he was a righty, huh?
Guys, yeah. Let me maybe interrupt that. You think that might be of a lot of interest to the listeners?
You're absolutely right.
Well, let me say one thing about Medved and Savage. I've called up. Oh, it's Richard in Watsonville. No, you're not getting on, Richard. I've heard that from call screeners from Medved and Savage. The only one that used to let me on was in the beginning when Rush.
Gene something or other.
What?
Gene was his first name. Gene is his first name.
Gene Burns?
No.
I know who you're talking about now. Gene Rusko.
Rusko, that's it.
Gene Rusko.
He's a news guy that they put on to be a talk host.
And they actually thought he had something to say.
Yeah, he did.
Well, where's he at now? He's not saying it now.
We talked about him coming to KSCO when he came into town a few years ago.
And he didn't do it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. But it just didn't
that's
happen.
What happens. They get cold feet. But no, I think the news people and the morning drive, afternoon drive people need to. If you're going to put anybody on during the week, put that Rick O'Shea on. I get tired of hearing Rosemary and Scott saying, "Well, Rick O'Shea came up with this great idea." Let me lay this on you.
So do you think Rick O'Shea should take over the whole morning show?
No, I think Rick O'Shea should have an. He doesn't do any talking to speak of in the morning. Give him an hour slot at noon.
I would recommend doing things like that maybe in the evening or on weekends.
Yeah, or even putting him and that Ryan Roberts together. Ryan Roberts did a hell of a job one day.
Yeah, Ryan Roberts. Ryan Roberts, great.
He's a very intelligent young man.
Team. Yeah.
And the young people are the future of radio, whether we like it or not.
Well, we like.
We
it.
Don't like that. No.
No, I know it.
You don't, Zero. But you know, you're Zero. You're the ambassador of the New World Order, and you got your spot on the radio, and that's about it. Anything else you do is extra.
Hey, Richard, thanks.
All right, Richard, thank you very much. Because when you
11:43, there's 17 minutes left in hour number two of the Saturday special. I know you want to do a commercial break.
Yes,
right?
I do.
But our next, I got a tease in the radio business. We do these teases. Bob and Soquel is going to be our next call. I can't wait for what Bob is going to say.
Yeah, Bob, stay on with us because Bob is always one of the most interesting callers. I think if that's the Bob that I understand who it is. But let's do a commercial break because we do need to pay the bills here. This is KSCO AM 1080, and you're listening to the Saturday Special with your host MZ. I am Michael Zwirling. This is my name, and I'm just imitating Cyril here.
I can do a better Cyril than you can, MZ.
I didn't imitate MZ. I was imitating MZ, imitating Cyril.
Oh.
Well, all right.
So, in that case, it was pretty good.
It was pretty good, yeah. Stay with us. We will be right back after those messages.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Monterey, Brookdale, and San Lucas.
It's out there, an insidious addiction plaguing literate people of Santa Cruz County. It starts innocently enough. You pick it up at a friend's house as a lark. It makes you feel enlightened. Pretty soon you're buying it on the street. The more you use it, the smarter you feel. Then before you know it, you're having it delivered to your home. I'm talking, of course, about the Santa Cruz Sentinel. It hooks you with a headline, then story after story. The Sentinel feeds your craving for knowledge. Every day, something new to stimulate your mind. There are even comics to trick your children into reading more, leading them to the harder stuff, like books. Beware, Santa Cruz County. The Sentinel is out there. Read it, and you may never be content to live in ignorance again. The Santa Cruz Sentinel. Your news, your stories, every day.
And every Sunday, the Sentinel features insight with world and local views and opinions, Santa Cruz style, featuring stories about the lifestyle in Santa Cruz County, plus financial news in the Sunday Wall Street Journal. The Sunday Sentinel. Check it out.
If you have a legal problem, we have a legal solution. Join attorney Richard Alexander for Injury Talk Radio, Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m. for the expert legal advice you need to recover from personal injuries. Pick up the phone and call 800-844-0246. Sponsored by Alexander Hawes and Audette, accident and insurance specialists. Check their record at injurytalkradio.com. Protect yourself and your family. Listen to Injury Talk Radio Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KSCO.
I think people want to have a conversation about money where they come away feeling stronger about their own financial possibilities to invest in the market and win. I also think that they want to have a conversation where they see clearly that they're really up to the task for stepping in and playing the market. Hi, I'm Noel Murphy. Join me for the Prosperity Hour with Donovan Lazar and Frank McHugh, investment experts, to really inspire you and educate you for what's next financially for you. That's the Prosperity Hour, Tuesdays between 1 and 2, right here on KSCO KOMY.
My name is Troy, and I met my fiancé on eHarmony.com.
My name is Tom, and I met my fiancé, Brenda, on eHarmony.com.
My name is Jack, and I met my wife, Jennifer, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the thousands of eHarmony matches. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today and get your free personality profile.
Hi, my name's Daniel, and I found my fiancé, Allison, at eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy couples out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Moss Landing, Marina, and Piscines.
We're back here with the Saturday Special. MZ is the host, and I am just the announcer here.
I love
and
that music. That's my favorite.
That's why I played it, yeah.
What a guy. Thanks, Carol. Before we go to Bob and Soquel, I got to read this email that just came in, okay?
Okay.
It says here, this is from Jeffrey J. Olms, and and the subject says, descending point of view. What? Anyhow, no descending point of view. KSCO does 6 hours a day of that kind of broadcasting, Rush Limbaugh and Savage. Why do you think war against Iraq has anything to do with 9/11? I hate to beat a dead horse, but there were no Iraqis and 15 Saudis in that attack. The really sad thing is that bin Laden is still bumping around the desert with his dialysis machine. Believe me, MZ, I am no liberal. I can't just accept any response. I want the right one. If someone steals your car, is the appropriate answer to smash someone else's window? Get the guy that did it. Mark my words, this will go down as a tremendous fiasco. Thanks for the ear, Jeff. Okay, well, thanks for the email, Jeff. MZ at KSCO.com is the
email address. This kind of viewpoint and emails remind me of South Korean missiles. They are very misguided.
Yeah, you think they're misguided missiles. But nonetheless, I read the email because I thought that it should be read.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's go on to, by the way, we do have 11 more minutes remaining in this program. If you want to call, now is the time. Open lines at 479-1080 and 477-1340. Let's go to Bob in SoCal. Bob,
last email stole some of my thunder.
The last email stole some of your thunder?
Yes, from what I can gather from listening to the news, and and I can't read much anymore because of my eyesight, but I do listen to the news, and I do watch TV. I watch all stations.
Yeah.
From what I can tell, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. In fact, there was a warning that the terrorists on October 8th, 2001, were told to the Bush administration apparently knew something about this, and they chose to do nothing. We could go into a great deal of detail on that, but there are time constraints, so I can't say much more about it. But what I'd like to talk about is what, by the way, unlike Richard in Watsonville, I don't think anybody should be muzzled. And what I'd like to talk about is wars in general, if I could, Michael.
Sure.
And Cyril. Some wars are justified. I'm not one of these people who believe in peace at any price. And obviously some wars are justified, and if I could, I'm going to list the ones I think are justified. World War II and the Korean War and the war in Afghanistan. The problem with the war in Afghanistan is too much of a resource are being diverted to Iraq, so he couldn't finish the job or at least control the job in Afghanistan. So I'm not one of these people who think that some wars are not are justified and some aren't.
I know that, Bob.
Some wars are justified. I remember a program that Chris Matthews had one night where he interviewed one of Bush's speechwriters. I guess it was Reagan's speechwriter, a woman called Peggy Noonan.
Yeah.
Chris Matthews asked that same question. What did 9/11 have to do with Iraq or vice versa? Not a darn thing.
And I don't think, but I don't think that anybody, including Bush, said that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 9/11.
What I read. That's not what Bob Woodward said in his book, and that's not what you're not going to.
Well,
like. That's not what Richard Clark said in his book, and long before they went after Afghanistan, and you've got a number of people in the administration that I like to call neocons who've never fired a gun in anger. And you listen to a war hero called Colonel Richard Hackworth, who was one of the most decorated veterans in Vietnam. Listen to him sometime and see what he says about the war in Iraq. It's unjustified and it's stupid, just like the Vietnam War was stupid. And
well, it depends on what do you use to justify.
How do you justify it?
Well, if you want to justify that by adhering to principles that came from the 1648 Treaty of Westphalia that stipulated that a sovereign ruler can do whatever they want to the people on the territory that they somehow happen to be ruling of, then sure, it's not justified. If you want to maybe bring freedom to those people and have them do elections, 8 million of Iraqis just finally, for the first time ever, had elections, I think that might be justified.
Can I answer that?
Sure, go ahead.
We're very selective in which dictators we support and which dictators we don't. There's no question about the fact that Saddam was a brutal dictator. Let's get that out of the way. But you're being from the Soviet Union, you're familiar with one of the former Soviet satellites. It's called Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
That's one of our big allies, isn't our great allies. And what do they do in Uzbekistan? They throw their political enemies into hot boiling water, from what I understand. They're our good buddies. When have we not supported little tin horn dictators all over the world? We're just selective in the ones we support and the ones we don't support.
Of course we do, because we cannot spread all the we don't have the resources to deal with all of them. I loved that unfortunate talk show host that we had for a while, Alan Nathan. I really loved his show, and his argument to this, or response to that kind of line of thinking, was, well, if you have 8 houses on the street on fire, and you only have water to stop 2 fires, what, you're not doing anything at all? Just because you cannot get to the all 8 houses, you're not stopping fires in 2 that you can?
You go after the person who started the fire, and Iraq wasn't one of the dictatorships that started the fire. It was bin Laden in Afghanistan. We should spend more of a resource on him, and I'm not saying, I don't know what the solution is, except that I think it was, maybe it was you or maybe it was Michael, who said that we've got to have a solution. My solution would be to sit down. Excuse me for saying this. Your callers are going to jump over me on this. When we had the problem in Bosnia, Kosovo. We sent an experienced negotiator called what was his name? It escapes me. The guy that did the Dayton Accords.
Richard Holbrooke.
Richard Holbrooke. We should send Richard Holbrooke over there to do the negotiating, to try to bring the different parties together.
And what did it do?
Shiites. And the Sunnis, try to bring them together.
Bob, do you remember what Richard Holbrooke achieved? Do you remember what Richard Holbrooke achieved there? He achieved a partition of the country based on ethnic rules. Is that what you think that we should have been doing in Iraq, partitioning it?
It's better than having people shoot each other and kill each other and having American boys killed. There's 1,500 American soldiers killed now. They're probably being bought back in body bags. What's the solution? No solution is perfect. I'm not saying we should have a partition, but send Holbrooke or some other negotiator over there to do the work that needs to be done. Can I bring up something else, or do we have time?
Go ahead, Bob.
This may surprise some of your listeners, but one of the things I'm behind now is the Veterans March on May 21st. We should honor the veterans who have died in all wars. And I think you had a person in there called Donna Jacobs at one time, Michael?
Probably.
She's the one that's organizing the march, the Veterans March.
Oh, yes.
On
I
May
remember
21st.
That. Yeah, yeah. She was at the town clock.
May,
yeah.
When we have more time, Cyril, I'd like to take you on your statement about teachers' unions. You're completely wrong about that. And I'm not saying that unions are all good, but we... But this is something that all working people need. If you read the history of labor in this country, you'll see that unions perform a very important service.
Maybe tomorrow?
Well, maybe Thursday is the better time, because Thursday is the local stuff.
And the other thing I wanted to say, you brought up some of you brought up Scott Free, I believe, the fact that it was a 45-minute monologue, I think you said?
Diatribe.
Something like that?
Yeah.
I've heard Rush, believe it or not, I listen to Rush Limbaugh and I listen to Bill O'Reilly. I've heard Rush Limbaugh talk longer than 45 minutes in one session.
Yeah, I sometimes talk for 2 hours without callers, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Well, Cyril, you're better than Rush Limbaugh, and I don't mind that from you sometimes, because
we want our local host.
Michael?
I've
got something
open,
to say to you in private. You and I have got to talk in private sometime that I can't say over the air.
All right, but we have
Why?
To let you
Is
go,
guilty?
Bob. Okay, we have to let Bob go because it's...
Okay, hey, you know what? We've got three other callers. Let's
hear and 3 minutes left.
Okay, how about Billy and Capitola?
Okay.
Billy and Capitola.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Nothing wrong with a rant every now and then. And
no,
I agree with
let
Mike.
Let some other people talk, that's all.
Well, right, of course. People, I do. I prefer to actually hear from people because I like to argue rather than just rant. It's easier for me to know what I want to rant about when I'm disagreeing with somebody. And I want to disagree with something that Cyril just said a minute ago. And it sort of points out the problem with conservatives in general and what happens when you have to support
I'm not a conservative,
president who's a liar.
I'm not a conservative. I'm a progressive.
Well, whatever it is you are. When you say that, well, Bush never said... that Iraq was part of 9/11.
That's right.
Well, you know, he didn't say it, but he implied it. Every time he spoke, he brought up 9/11. And to try to lie to people about it by telling the truth that isn't
Billy,
the truth.
Billy, if you think that your delusional capability of reading between the lines is true.
Are.
No, you are lying. Because Bush did not say that Iraq had anything to do with 9/11. He didn't.
Michael, did Bush constantly try to mix 9/11 and Iraq?
No.
Michael.
Are you talking about Bush?
Yeah. Did Bush, when he was trying to sell us Iraq, constantly try to intermix the 9/11 and Iraq? Whether he said it directly or not.
No, he wasn't, because he was talking about war with terrorists. Billy, that's a different thing.
I can't answer that question. So you can answer it.
No, go ahead.
But hurry up.
Z.
No, I can't answer it.
Well, I already answered that.
Okay.
He was talking about terrorism.
Billy... You'll have to be happy with Cyril's answer.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So you see, when you have a president who's a liar, look what people have to do to support him. They have to completely just deny what's
well,
really
yeah,
going
yeah,
on.
Well, yeah, I guess that's right. When you have a government official in the county who is a liar, and you have people that are around that wants to support that person, that's about the same thing, right?
Not
isn't
nice
it?
Nice to call our president
what are you talking
a liar.
About?
Anyhow, we got to take Brother Daryl's phone call. Thank you, Billy. Brother Daryl, you're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, hey, one of Scott's points was the using of depleted uranium bullets is the same as using nuclear war. It's essentially, there was a comparison made there. That we're
did.
Using radioactive weapons and
he
things
did,
like
yeah.
that. They're spreading death and destruction. Oh, my God, it's everywhere.
Good.
Well,
thank
one thing
you for
need
that
to
quick
do...
comment. If you need more time, take 10 seconds because we've got to go to Ken and Carmel and then end the show.
Depleted uranium shells are only 70% as radioactive as dirt. It's less radioactive than your dirt. And he ought to do some homework and take a look on the internet and get some information on depleted uranium. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Ken and Carmel, go.
Hi, guys. I advise all of you, read the Quran. And when you do, you will understand why we're in Iraq. For
okay.
anyone to get involved in any of these discussions without having read the Quran is going in as a boxer without one arm.
All right, thank you very much, Ken. This
okay,
is the end of the Saturday
hey,
special.
Thank you very much, Cyril. You helped make this show wonderful. not a disaster.
Yeah.
That's all, folks.
It is high noon, and you're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz. And now to Newsbreak in Progress.
Instead of asking whether the system has a problem, they're asking when their leaders are going to fix it. Fixing Social Security must be a bipartisan effort, and I'm willing to listen to a good idea from either party. I'm confident that by working together, we will find a solution that will renew the promise of Social Security for the 21st century.
President Bush had also addressed America Thursday in a primetime news conference, giving a short statement concerning Social Security and high gas prices before fielding questions from reporters. Veterans are gathering today at the Vietnam Wall to mark the 30th anniversary of the war's end. Gene Coletta reports.
Among those who served was Mark Leipson. He works for Vietnam Veterans of America, the group that's planning the commemoration. The Army veteran says he'll never forget how he and other troops were greeted with hostility when they returned to the U.S.
We were blamed by the anti-war movement for taking part in the war and by the people in favor of the war for not winning.
Organizers say the event will pay tribute to the more than 58,000 who were killed, as well as those who suffer through physical and mental pain. Gene Coletta, Washington.
USA Radio News.
Greg and Elisa Hall met at church. 2 years later, they were married, and both of them felt a call to go into the ministry. You're going to be surprised to find out how they put themselves through Christian college. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby with the Three-Step Plan Home-Based Business System. Elisa's parents had a successful home-based business working with the Three-Step Plan, so she knew it could work for her and Greg, too. They not only worked their way through school, they made more money than most of their professors. The Three-Step Plan was fun, and it paid better than getting a job. Would you like this to happen to you? Go online at threestepplan.com or call 800-680-8553. Today, Greg is a full-time minister and Elisa a stay-at-home mom. Thousands of people are making money working from home, and you can too. For information, go to threestepplan.com or call toll-free 800-680-8553. 800-680-8553.
Alarming reports about nuclear developments in North Korea and Iran. USA's Connie Lawn has details.
It may not be a coincidence that both rogue nations could be stepping up development of nuclear weapons. Atomic specialists say there is evidence to prove that is the case. North Korea has admitted it and claims it needs nuclear weapons for self-defense. Other countries say they have no intention of attacking North Korea, but all options are on the table. Iran claims it needs nuclear material for energy. President Bush says he does not know why they need it with their vast supplies of oil. Connie Lawn, USA Radio Network News, Washington.
A minister from Philadelphia who lost her credentials after she admitted she was gay has reportedly been reinstated. A United Methodist Church appeals panel meeting near Baltimore yesterday reversed an earlier decision to defrock the Reverend Beth Stroud. Methodist Church law forbids ordained ministers from practicing homosexuality. USA Radio News.
Larry King here. I want vitamins that give me more, like the Advanced Protection of Ester C, the only vitamin C with metabolites, and Ester E, the only vitamin E that protects its antioxidant benefits until your body's ready to use it. It's a unique form of natural vitamin E captured for the first time in a supplement. Ester E and Ester C. Advanced Protection. Ester Protection.
Look for Ester C and Ester E at Walgreens and GNC.
A woman in Georgia thought to have been abducted has been found alive in Albuquerque. Duluth, Georgia Mayor Shirley Fanning Lassiter says that she was happy to hear the news that a bride-to-be had run off on her own instead of being kidnapped.
I was just really thrilled to know that what could have been a horribly tragic ending was not going to be.
Albuquerque police say Wilbanks lied about her abduction and confessed later that she was not kidnapped. Police say she had become scared and confused about her upcoming marriage and decided that she needed some time alone. She reportedly will not face criminal charges stemming from her dishonesty to authorities in New Mexico. No word on what charges may or may not be filed against her in Georgia. The State Department says it is taking steps to improve technology that will be embedded in new U.S. passports. The Washington reports that the department's deputy assistant secretary says the steps will be taken even if the change delays plans to begin issuing passports to new applicants later this year. More news at usaradio.com. Cynthia King with news on the USA Radio Network.
You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Michael Williams, and I have your Central Coast weather. But first, a little public comment we're looking for. If anybody would like to call in to our comment line, 429-2222, we plan on shutting the station down tonight at 10 o'clock. But if you'd like, we can rerun the Saturday special from 8 to 10. And that is based on comments we receive on 429-2222. You can also fax us at 475-2967 or email MZ himself at mz@ksco.com. On with the weather, we've got partly cloudy skies, highs in the 60s to lower 70s, afternoon sea breeze 10 to 20 miles per hour, and tonight, partly cloudy, highs in the 60s to lower 70s, afternoon sea breeze 10 to 20 miles per hour. It is 63 degrees here at the station, and I will be now taking you to our 12 o'clock show, Perspectives, with your host, Donald Davidson. Donald, it's all yours.
Great. Thank you very much, Michael. And today we're joined by David Smith, who will be co-hosting along with Susan McLaughlin and their very special guest, retired Senator Richard Montjoy. And while they're taking the time to get Mr. Montjoy on the phone for us, David, why don't you go ahead and introduce him.